For today is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 8, verses 26 through 39. But before we hear this story of healing by Jesus, let's begin with a word of prayer. As you spoke to the legions, O God, speak now to the forces that surround us. By your Spirit, let your word illumine the darkness and your light break through our delusions, that we may see your truth. Amen. And this passage from Luke can be found on page 1606 in the Pew Bible, as it mentions in the bulletin. So let's hear this story of Jesus. They sailed to the region of the Gerasenes, which is across the lake from Galilee. When Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. For a long time, this man had not worn clothes or lived in a house, but had lived in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, "What do you want from me, Jesus, Son of God, the Most High God? I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus had commanded the impure spirit to come out of the man. Many times it had seized him, and though he was chained hand and foot and kept under guard, he had broken his chains and had been driven by the demon into solitary places. Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "Legion," he replied, because many demons had gone into him. And they begged Jesus repeatedly not to order them to go into the abyss. A large herd of pigs was feeding there on a hillside. The demons begged Jesus to let them go into the pigs, and he gave them permission. When the demons came out of the man, they went into the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When those tending the pigs saw what had happened, they ran off and reported this in the town and the countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone out sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people how the demon-possessed man had been cured. Then all the people of the region of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them because they were overcome with fear. So Jesus got into the boat and left. The man from whom the demons had gone out begged to go with him, but Jesus sent him away saying, "Return home and tell how much God has done for you." So the man went away and told all over town how much Jesus had done for him. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Gracious and loving God, we come to you today with hope and peace for healing where there has been pain and sorrow. Help all of us, Lord, to understand how we may approach mental health, mental awareness, that we may all take care of this special gift that we have been given, so that we may be blessings to all in our family and in our world. We ask all this as I ask that you bless the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as I was telling the kids, one of the most important ways we are separated from the rest of the animal kingdom is our wildly complex and complicated brains, with its oversized cerebral cortex. Now, some folks have argued that the brain is the most complex biological structure on the planet. That's how amazing it is. And it is the center of our nervous systems. It integrates all sensory data through the cells called neurons, right? And through these neurons and their networks, our brain connects with every organ in our body, communicating with our organs, creating thoughts, memory, speech, movement. Who in here knows how many neurons our brains possess. Anyone want to take a shot? Now, this is, I'm talking about, you know, it's maybe a normal, healthy person. What do you think? Take a shot. Who's ready to take a shot on for me? Yeah, what do you think, Brandon? A billion? That's a good guess. Oh, you're a little low. How much? Who said 100 billion? That's it. 100 billion neurons. That is unbelievable. That is amazing. And so we recognize that this complex structure that our brain has managed to be formed into, that our brains are truly a gift from God. That they are something to be used and to be taken care of and to be thankful for. But, like any other complex structure on earth, there are a lot of ways our brains can go haywire. Damage to a specific part of our brain can destroy our capabilities to remember, to control our emotions, to move our bodies. Chemical imbalances and genetic makeup in the brain can make a person prone to anxiety, depression, and any number of other mental illnesses like schizophrenia. And our brains can let us down for any number of reasons. It is estimated that every year about 15 million Americans suffer from depression, and that doesn't include those who deal with overwhelming anxiety or bipolar disorder. An untreated mental illness has huge consequences on every single one of us. A disproportionate number of homeless people, perhaps one study states that 250,000 suffer from untreated psychiatric illness. Again, a disproportionate number of folks with untreated mental disorders are incarcerated and not always receiving the support they need to get better. And there are other consequences as well. Increase in substance abuse, increase in health care costs, and broken families. The National Institute of Mental Health tells us that 2/3 of people with a mental disorder go untreated, and that men are even more likely to go untreated. So therefore, we need to realize that mental health cannot be taken lightly. Almost all of us at some moment in our lifetime have experienced a bout of depression or some other mental illness. And we can either sweep it under the rug and pretend it doesn't exist and think we're just going to put our heads down and get through it. Or we can name it, address it, and be present for those who suffer with this daily struggle. Because for far too long, we have stigmatized and isolated those who suffer from mental illness from our pews. And by doing so, we have abandoned God's children to suffer alone. Now, in our reading today from Luke 8, Jesus finds this man, after he gets off a boat, he finds this man isolated outside of a Gentile town. And we're told that he is suffering from demon possession. And we're told that the man literally lives amongst the tombs, the dead, that he is might as well be dead. That's how isolated he is. And he was chained to be kept away from the rest of the village. Now today, this demon-possessed man would probably be diagnosed with suffering from a mental disorder. We might still call it a demon today, but the way that Jesus, this not the same way people in Jesus' time understood what demon possession meant. What's essential to notice in this story is how the villagers treated this man, stigmatizing and isolating him outside of town, which we probably know made his mental condition worse. The village did not try to help him or stand beside him. They simply chained him up and let him suffer alone. This is how many people who suffer from mental disorders feel stigmatized, alone, with no help in sight. And the church, throughout its history, has contributed to this isolation, saying that mental illness is a consequence of personal sin or insufficient faith. People would say, well, if you just believed more, you wouldn't be so depressed. Or if you had enough faith, your anxiety would just disappear. You wouldn't have anxiety. This is a classic case of victim blaming. But you'll notice in the story that Jesus doesn't blame the man for his demon possession. Instead, Jesus approaches the man and asks the man what his name is. And the demon is the one that responds. And this is an important question, right? Because in the ancient world, to know someone's name was to have power over whatever that thing or person was in front of you. So the man answers, Legion, which may have been a reference to the Roman legions who occupied much of the Middle East at the time, kind of equating Roman rule with demon possession. But this idea of naming our struggles is essential to the work we have to do as a church. We cannot be afraid to acknowledge mental illness in all of its forms, to name it out in the open so that we as a community can be empowered to help those who suffer from it. If we refuse to name it, to ignore it, when it's staring us right in the face, we will suffer more. So name it. Speak it. Say things like, I have anxiety disorder. My brother is bipolar. My mother has Alzheimer's disease. By naming it, by acknowledging its reality, it is then that we can take the first step to wholeness and healing and reaching out to those who need our help, who can offer us help. Now, Jesus, in the story, exorcises the demons from this man in an exciting and sad adventure with a herd of pigs. That is another sermon for another day. They lost a lot of bacon that day. And maybe, you know, bacon can help with depression and anxiety. At least for a few minutes. Well, these weren't Jews. These were Gentiles. But when the villagers saw that the man... This part of the story drives me crazy. All right, right? So what happens when the villagers see that this man, who they have isolated and stigmatized and chained up outside of town, when they see that this man has been cured of his demon possession, what emotion do they experience? Fear. Not joy, excitement. Let me bring you back into our fold. Hospitality, love. How do we figure out how to bring you back into our fold? Instead, the person who has been healed now is met with more fear. Has been met with more anxiety. We are so afraid of true community, of embracing and accepting in our pews those who suffer and struggle, those who are not afraid to show emotion, those who are not afraid to name what they struggle with, those who are not afraid to be fully themselves, warts and all, but we are afraid because it asks us to change our assumptions. By welcoming someone who is struggling into our ranks, to walking alongside someone who is struggling, it asks us to change our assumptions, to change our prejudices, and to ask us to sacrifice our comfort so that we may show hospitality to our kinfolk who are suffering from mental issues and mental illnesses. So I want you to think about living out the things that help all of us be a better, more hospitable community. I want you to pull out this insert here. This comes from the UCC church that has a Mental Health Sunday every year built into their calendar. It's got a couple things. The other side also has some stigma-busting things as well that I really encourage you to read. But being a friend, which means walking alongside those who suffer, helping them get connected to the resources available, support groups, counselors, immediate help. Be willing to name your own struggles. By sharing your own story, you may be surprised how that story can help someone else get help. Because it amazes me how many of you have gone through incredible struggles and have made it out on the other side and have found meaning and hope and peace out of that story, yet I never hear these stories, and a lot of people don't know these stories. Last week, after sharing my sermon on suicide prevention, it was unbelievable, the stories I heard last week. Folks who are willing to come and say, "Gray, let me tell you a story that I struggled with." This is true for all of us. All of us have gone through times when we have been depressed, times that we have been down, times that we have struggled with anxiety, times that we have struggled with loved ones who suffer from mental disorders. By sharing your story, you can help someone else who is in the midst of this struggle. Also, be careful with your language. Talk about here in number 3, that oftentimes we use words that further stigmatize those who are struggling with mental illnesses. Words like crazy, psycho, lunatic, mental. We don't realize how those words actually can help, can continue to stigmatize mental illness in our nation. And finally, seek out knowledge. Learn about those that are struggling with depression. Talk to someone in your life who is struggling with that and how they deal with it, so that you may be better prepared. So the next thing is, you gotta take care of yourself. As I told the kids, this is a special gift. There are ways that we can take care of the things I mentioned. Drinking water, getting enough sleep, getting away from the screens, going for walks, doing those things that build better mental health. Those things that will help you deal with the big things that you deal with in your life. And so today, as the body of Christ, as the people who have been called to represent Jesus Christ in this world, I ask you today to embrace those who struggle with mental illness. No longer allow them to feel isolated. Give them the hope that the church can be a vital part of healing and wholeness for all of those who are struggling. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.